Thank you very much. Good morning, members. We are starting. You are all welcome to the meeting. Today we will be dealing with the annual report that was tabled before Parliament by the Independent Complaints Directorate, ICD. Let me take this opportunity to once again congratulate them for receiving yet again another unqualified audit opinion. Indeed, there are matters that are raised by the Auditor General, which I think the department or ICD will give clarity to. However, I think it is qualifying that we congratulate them for receiving unqualified audit opinion. We will be meeting tomorrow to adopt our UK-Canada report. I'm referring this to members of the Portfolio Committee. And members will get the copies of the clean report, and they are requested to please go through that so that when we adopt the report tomorrow or we go through the report, we do it quicker so that we can adopt that report. There are also outstanding minutes that I think were distributed to members, and we'll also request members to read those minutes so that if there are amendments that have to be effected, we do it tomorrow and we adopt all those minutes. So our meeting will start at 9:30. The venue will be E216 in the New Assembly section of Parliament up to 12:30. Our housing oversight visit report appears in today's ATC, and I think we are happy about that. We will allow the executive director to take us through the presentation, and following that, we'll then allow members to ask questions. Depending on the speed at which ICD responds to questions, if all of them are responded to, there won't be any homework. But if some of the questions are not responded to, maybe even because of time, then they will be responded to in writing. For now, let me allow the executive director to take us through the presentation. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. Thank you very much for the opportunity to do the presentation. Maybe just to introduce our delegation. To my right is Mr. Dlamini, our national spokesperson, also from Program 2. Then Mr. Chabalala, Program Manager 2. Ms. Mabuli, Program Manager 3. Then, Honourable Members will remember that Mr. Valoy retired. That post was advertised. The submission is currently with the Executive Authority, and meantime, Mr. Sissoko, who is the Provincial Head in Northwest, is acting as Program Head for Program 1. Then at the back, Mr. Leolo, who is our Provincial Head to Western Cape, Advocate Malaysia, who is a Provincial Head Gauteng. Then our Chief Financial Officer, Ms. Kwele, is in the final days of maternity, leaving for maternity, and so she will not be with us, so we've asked the budget controller to stand in. I will do the presentation on the financial aspects, but I mean, she will also come in, and if there's questions we can't at this stage give responses to, of course, we will give that in writing. Then we've got Ms. McLaren, the new provincial head of KZN, and we've got also then Mr. Hamanyana, who is the provincial head in Free State, but is currently acting in Mpumalanga. So, Chairperson, that is our delegation. In terms of the presentation, I'll deal quickly with the issues indicated there, then the financial matters, Mr. Sisoko, then Mr. Chabalala, and then Mr. Mabuli. We're not going to directly go to the action plan on those issues raised by the AG, but of course, if there's questions for clarification, we will go to that. But that is just included as an annex to members. Chairperson, immediately going to slide number three. The ICD, as you've indicated, received an unqualified report from the Auditor General for the second consecutive year. In addition thereto, the ICD completed 82% of its investigations by deaths in custody, was a result of police action exceeding the target of 65% by 17%. And then with relation to allegations of criminality, 83% of its investigations against members of the SAPS were finalized, exceeding the target of 55% by 28%. Now, the year under review, we received complaints of 5869 cases. And if we look at the different classes, 797 cases were notifications of deaths in police custody and deaths as a result of police action. 102 cases were domestic violence non-compliance matters. 2,493 cases were allegations of criminal offences, and then the misconduct, 2,477, where there was alleged contravention of the standing orders and regulations. Then the proportion of cases, if we look at the total picture, deaths amounted to 14%, domestic violence amounted to 2%, and criminal offences amounted to 42%, and misconduct, 42%. Now, if you compare how these figures have changed relative to the previous year, deaths decreased by 7% from 860 to 797, and then the DVA matters non-compliance decreased by 19%, 126 to 102. Then criminal offences increased slightly by 1% from 2462 to 2493, and then misconduct complaints decreased by 15%. From 29229 to 2477. Overall, there was an 8% decrease across the board. 6,377 cases were received in 2019 compared to the 5869 cases that were received in the year under review. Then from a provincial perspective, all provinces except Gauteng and Limpopo experienced decreases ranging from 70% to 23%. Chairperson, then in terms of recommendations to the Director of Public Prosecutions, 501 were made. Then 2,261 recommendations were made to the SAPS management in respect of disciplinary action. And just an indication that ICD investigators spend about 1,014 days in courts or disciplinary tribunals of the SAPS. Then in terms of convictions, there were 59 convictions in court, which were sentences ranging from fines to 20-year jail terms, and 88 convictions emanating from disciplinary processes were obtained. Other cases are still pending finalization in the courts and disciplinary tribunals. And then a strategic plan and annual performance plan were developed that complies with a new framework set by the National Treasury. Then, Chairperson, very short, and I'm not going to go in detail, I'm just noting that the Honourable Members are aware of the new legislative framework that was adopted by Parliament. Then the liaison with the Civilian Secretariat of Police Service is going well, I mean, in terms of the handover as well as current liaison. Then in terms of the public access to the ICD, the satellite offices are operating. Then raising awareness of ICD, we also indicate in terms of the outreach, community outreach events, 307 that were held, and then also the achievement of the target set for concluding investigations. We already referred to that, and also then ensuring better service delivery. Then, Chairperson, when we go to the report of the accounting officer, I'm also going to be just in detail. Maybe there will be more detailed questions by members, and then we can respond to that. Maybe just in terms of the general review of the state of financial affairs, in terms of important policy decisions and strategic issues. Again, the strategic objectives that set the agenda, The 12 priority areas are indicated in the annual report on page 71. Then we also again raise those issues regarding the legislative framework and the awareness program. Then the matter of services rendered, capacity constraints is also indicated there with relation to the financial unit. Then we also indicate utilization of donor funds, corporate governance arrangements. Maybe just to indicate there that I think we have strengthened the audit committee with two more members that was appointed in this year. So I think that will also assist us in going forward. Although corporate governance unit is on the table for our proposal for 12-13, and hopefully we will get that funding from Treasury. Then in terms of asset management, I think we've turned the corner. This matter has been a problematic issue for the department in the past, and I think we are now there that we can indicate that we've stabilized the picture there. In terms of events of the reporting date, there's nothing really there. In terms of scope of resolutions, there's nothing, and the other issues are also reflected in the accounting officer's report. Chairperson, if we then can go to the part of the Chief Financial Officer, the financial performance, the expenditure analysis, and the analysis of the financial statements on slide 10. In terms of the spending expenditure as a percentage of the final appropriation, Program 1, 1999.4%, Program 2, 98.6%, and then Program 388.1, a total of 97.7, expenditure of 128.444. Then there's on slide 11, the expenditure per province. I'm not going to indicate the amounts, but it's there as well as the variances. Then the budget comparison with the previous year, on slide 12, Program 1 administration, there was an increase of 6.4 million. Program 2, 8.4, and then Program 3, 74,000. So the increase for that year was, in the end, 14.9. Then spending trends, if rounded off, it's reflected spending of 98% of the budget for 2010-11. Underspending due to the waiting of invoices for goods and services, software licenses. There's also other issues, but we can come to that if there's detailed questions. Then an application for rollover were made. Maybe I can just indicate we were given 1.4 million by National Treasury as a rollover amount. And our view is that there was no adverse impact on service delivery. Then the question of how do we deal with spending trends going forward, the question of underspending. Our contention is that it is not material, but we must come to a situation that we spent 100%, and the actions we currently have on the table and is implemented is our monthly budget control management meetings as well as the quarterly expanded budget control management meetings. So we're keeping an eye on that going forward. Then in terms of the annual financial statements, the question of environment, maybe just to indicate briefly, Program 1, 159,000 to Program 2, then Program 2 to from Program 1, and Program 3, amount of 1.3, and then Program 3 to Program 2, 1.165. And then the reasons for the environment, savings due to vacancies, and it was utilized for the shortfall in equipment and furniture, as well as traveling by investigators. Then in terms of the AFS, the unauthorized, irregular, and fruitless, and wasteful, in the current year, there was no unauthorized, there was no irregular, and there was two cases of fruitless and wasteful, and they were fully recovered from parties. And maybe just to indicate that, Chair, there we're taking a very strict approach in the department, and people may be unhappy about it, but if there is irregular unauthorized, the people who are responsible for that must pay for that. And that's the approach we're going to take. Then the question of asset management. We've indicated that all four items classified as assets are reflected on the asset register. The minimum requirements with regard to the asset register have been complied with. as well as the Bass and Logis reconciliations are being performed monthly. And then the barcoded asset management system will be fully implemented in this year. Chairperson, that in brief, in terms of the financial statements, then I'll ask Mr. Sokol immediately to go to Program 1.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. In terms of Program 1, the objective of the program administration is to provide overall management of the department and its support services. In terms of the program and staff complement, the program and agenda, Program 1, we had 95 posts and we filled 86. In terms of Program 2, we had 154 posts and we filled 144 posts. In terms of Program 3, we had 43 posts and we filled 4 of those posts. Total posts, 292, and 270 were filled, and the vacancy rate was 7.5. Now, the percentage of the total staff complement consisting of males is 49%, and the total percentage of staff consisting of females is 51%. And we had a staff turnover of 14%. In respect of training that was provided, we provided 246 training interventions in total to 249 members. And we made a distinction in terms of males and females and the staff categories that were trained. Senior managers, you'll see that senior officials and managers, you'll see that females, it was 22, males 24. Investigators, females 27, males 61. Data capturers, females 3, males 2. Plugs, females 78, and males 32. In total, there's 249. With regard to service delivery objectives and indicators, slide 20, the statutory objective there was to increase compliance with the employment equity, and the measure was a percentage of percentage of women in senior management, and the target was 50% of women in senior management. The actual target that was achieved was 29% of women in senior management. And the reason for deviation there was that there were no vacancies at this level. Percentage of people with disabilities, the target there is 2% of staff to people with disabilities. What was achieved was 1.5%. And the variance there indicated that the people with disabilities did not always apply for posts in the directorate, even when they were invited to do so. With regard to implementation of the approved retention strategy, in terms of vacancy rate, we say the department should maintain a below 10% vacancy rate. The department was able to achieve this target and exceed it because we maintain the vacancy rate at 7.5, below 10%. A period within which vacancies are to be filled. Vacancies are to be filled within 3 months, and we say all vacancies were filled within 3 months in the period, and therefore we achieve the target. With regard to promote discipline in the department, the major percentage of disciplinary hearings finalized within 90 days. Say all hearings are to be finalized within 90 days, and the actual achievement there was 86% of the disciplinary matters which were finalized within 90 days. We're saying that here, as a variance, employee in one case out of seven was consistent on sick leave, and that is why we could not achieve 100% there, only with respect to that case. Percentage of grievances finalized within 60 days. we're saying all, in terms of the actual achieved, all grievances were done 100% within 60 days, and we achieved our target there. With regard to policy review, we're supposed to do 70% of policy. We only achieved 38% there. We indicated that the staff shortage in the human resource management component were the reasons why we could not achieve that percentage. With regard to the implementation of government strategy on asset management in line with prescripts of the Public Finance Management Act, the measure there is the number of asset verification and updates of asset registers completed. We were supposed to do that quarterly. We did that quarterly and we were able to achieve our targets. Evaluate effectiveness of internal controls and ensure the ICD compliance with applicable prescripts. The number of internal audits that we're supposed to conduct, we're supposed to conduct 10 audits. We only did 7 audits. We could not do all 10 audits because the audit component also had to embark in ad hoc audits where there were interventions that were needed, and hence we could not meet the 10 audits. With regard to combating corruption and fraud and encourage ethical behavior, we're saying here the target that all reported cases must be done within 90 days. We're saying because we investigated all cases reported 100% within 90 days and achieved our targets there. Effectively manage risk in the ICD, number of risk management reports to be submitted, 1 risk report per quarter, and all risk reports were submitted and were able to achieve our targets there. Improving service delivery through Batopele revitalization, the number of times that we update our service delivery improvement plan, we must do that annually. We're able to update that by the 31st of March and we're able to achieve our target. Quality assured training, the number of training programs offered by accredited and recognized service providers. The target is that all training should be accredited, and we say all training offered are recognized, were offered by recognized service providers, and we're able to achieve our targets there. Compliance with the minimum information standard policy, number of stations of security audits conducted. We're supposed to conduct 10, we only conducted 6 audits, and the reason we could not meet the target there is that the security manager was only appointed at the beginning of the third quarter. With regard to the action plan to address the targets that were not met, 50% of women in senior management. The challenge there is that there is a low staff turnover at senior management level. The intervention is that we will designate at least 50% of vacant posts for filling by females. With regard to 2% of staff to be with people with disability, we say the challenge there is that people with disability do not always apply for posts in the ICD. Our intervention is to forward advertisements to for vacancies to NGOs dealing with people with disabilities, and also access database of people with disabilities from the Department of Labor. With regard to 70% of policies to be reviewed annually, the challenge has been the staff capacity. The intervention is the implementation of an action plan with set timelines and targets. I must say here already we see it during the course of this financial year that we are on course to meeting the targets there. With regard to 10 internal audits to be conducted annually, the challenge was the special ad hoc audits that were conducted. Here we have approved new internal audit post to be filled. With regard to 10 security audits to be conducted annually, a security manager was appointed in October, and the security manager has been conducting, in terms of intervention, has been conducting security audits, and the targets are now being met. Thank you, Chairperson and members. I'll hand over to Mr. Shabalala.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members. Good morning. I'll take you through the Program 2 achievement in respect of the annual report. The first slide there, which is slide 27, basically shows the table of contents, which I'll be covering in my presentation, and that relates to service delivery objectives and indicators, the workload, completed cases, recommendations, convictions and acquittals. In respect of the next slide, chapter 10, you'll see that in respect of the service delivery objectives and indicators, the strategy objective there was to finalize investigations of police custody as a result of police action. The target, which was 65%, and you'll see that we attained 82% of completion in respect of that class of cases. The target was exceeded. In respect of criminal investigations as well, where the target was 55%, we have attained 2,811 cases that were completed, which translated to 83% of completion rate. The next slide basically depicts the workload that we had to deal with as a program. You'll see that the cases that were carried over from 209 to 10 into the 2010-2011 financial year were 2,555 cases, while in that year we received 5,869. So we basically had a total workload of 8,424 cases. And the next slide, slide 30, basically gives a breakdown of that previous workload that I depicted in terms of the various classes. As you can see, in respect of deaths, the total workload was 1,276, followed by, in the third column there, domestic violence non-compliance cases, which were 155. Criminal cases amounted to 3,390, while misconduct cases were 3,603. Slide 34 basically gives you a picture of what is the workload on the one hand in terms of your column number two, and the completed workload as it's shown there in terms of column number three. And then the last column there is the percentage thereof. As I said, we completed 7,321 out of 8,424 cases, which is a total of 87% in respect of all the classes. Now, slide number 32 basically is a breakdown of completion rate in respect of your class one death in police custody as a result of police action. As indicated, we attained 82% in respect of class one, exceeding that target of 65%. And then in respect of slide number 33, which is the completion of criminal cases, there you'll see that we, again, it's a completion of 2,811, which translates to 83%. And once again, in this respect, we have exceeded the target. And in respect of slide number 34, Chairperson, is cases of misconduct. Again, the target was exceeded. The target of 55% was exceeded. As you can see, we completed 92% completion rate. And during the period under review, Chairperson, we made 501 recommendations to the Director of Public Prosecutions, 127 of which were in respect of death in police custody as a result of police action, while 374 were recommendations in respect of various criminal matters. And in slide number 36, Chairperson, you'll see that there was a total of 2,261 recommendations that were made to the South African Police Services, which is broken down also in respect of the various classes. And slide number 37, Chairperson, Honourable Members, depicts the number of convictions that were attained in the period. As you can see, there were 30 convictions in respect of matters relating to deaths in police custody as a result of police action. as the head indicated earlier, I think one of the cases where a sentence of 20 years was imposed in one particular matter. And there were, again, equally, there were 29 convictions in respect of criminal offences, various criminal offences. Of course, the detailed breakdown is contained in the annual report in terms of the individual cases where these convictions were attained. And there were 28 acquittals, 11 of which were in respect of deaths, while 17 were in respect of criminal cases. Just want to also add that during also the period under review, there were about 99 arrests that were effected by the ICD. And as we speak at this point in time, Chairperson, there are about 516 criminal matters comprising deaths in police custody as a result of police action and criminal cases that are currently on the court roll in various provinces. So as you can see, one of the challenges obviously that we experience is the fact that while you see the conviction that we've just indicated, that we had about 59 convictions, those are convictions that come over a period of time. Some of these 516 cases that I say are on the court roll. Some of them date back from 2004, 2005, and 2006. So there is that kind of long period before these matters are eventually finalized in our court. I would like to hand over to my colleague, Ms. Mbuli, to proceed with the investigation.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairperson and the members. I'm also going to take you through in terms of our achievement, the service delivery objectives indicators, and I'll also give you the statistical overview under this period 2010 and 11. On slide 40, Chairperson, one of the strategic objectives was to audit police stations in compliance with the DVA, and the target was 108 stations to be audited. That target was exceeded. We conducted 279 stations. We also attend to all applications for exemptions in terms of DVA, and all the applications that we received were completed within 30 days, and that target was also achieved. On community awareness programs, the target was 250 per annum, and we managed to conduct 307 awareness programs during that financial year. Chairperson, one of also our strategic objectives is on relevant information to the public and stakeholders. And the indicator was the number of reports produced annually, and the target was 3 reports, and we managed to conduct 5 desktop research reports. And then the last one was on the registration of cases. The indicator is to register and allocate all complaints within 48 hours. And the target is supposed to be 100% within 48 hours. Chairperson, we did not meet that target, reason being one of our provinces, they experienced a challenge in terms of the server. The server was crashed. And another reason was that, as you are aware, that we've just implemented a new case management system. So we did migration of cases from the old system to the new system. So as we are migrating some of the cases, were a problem in terms of making sure that we allocate them within 48 hours, but that challenge has already been addressed. I will then, therefore, Chairperson, take you through the breakdown of the statistics for cases that we dealt with in various offices of the ICD for the year ended March 2011. On slide 42, it gives you a breakdown of the completed cases by classification. A total number of completed cases was 5,869. The majority of completed cases were criminal offences as 2,493, followed by misconduct cases as 2,477. Deaths in police custody and deaths as a result of police action was at 797, and non-compliance with the DVA was 102. And then the second slide, Chairperson, it shows the comparison received from the previous financial year and current financial year. There's been an overall decrease of 8%, as the ED has indicated, but there was also an increase of 1% in criminal cases. And then if you look at slide 44, Chairperson, there it shows a two-year comparison of complaints received per province from the previous year and the current year. Limpopo has experienced an increase of 13%, followed by Gauteng with 7%, while the rest of the provinces experienced a decrease. For example, if you look at Northwest, Northwest experienced a decrease of 23%, followed by KZN with 17%, Eastern Cape 16%, Northern Cape 12%, Free State at 10%, and lastly Western Cape at 7%. And then the following slide, Chair, it also gives you a comparison of deaths in police custody and deaths as a result of police action over two financial years. Deaths, as is indicated, in police custody decreased by 13%, and deaths as a result of police action decreased by 5%. And then if we go further to slide 46, slide 46, it reflects deaths in police custody as a result of police action reported to ICT by SAPS and Metro Police in 2010-11 financial year per province. The table indicates that KZN has an 81% increase in reported deaths, followed by Gauteng with 23% and Eastern Cape with 4% of deaths reported. And this slide shows the circumstances in which death in police custody occurred. Most deaths in police custody were due to natural causes at 44%, followed by deaths by injuries sustained prior to custody at 31%, and also injuries sustained in custody at 25%. Then this slide, Chairperson, portrays deaths as a result of police action and circumstances surrounding such deaths. In the majority of deaths as a result of police action, the suspects died during the course of arrest at 38%, followed by instances where suspects died during the course of a crime at 20%, and instances where suspects died during the course of investigation at 12%. And then this slide, it shows that during the period under review, ICG received 2,493 allegations of criminal activities involving SAPS members. There was a 1% increase in 2010-2011 in criminal offenses reported compared to 2009 and 10 period. A major increase occurred in Northern Cape, while while Limpopo, Gauteng and experience increased, the Eastern Cape, Northwest and Western Cape, they all experienced decreases. Then this last slide, it depicts the yearly change in misconduct complaints received over a two-year period from 2009 and 10 per province. There was an overall decrease of 15% in misconduct complaints compared to the previous reporting period. An overall decrease was experienced in most provinces. KZN experienced a decrease of 45%, followed by Eastern Cape and Northern Cape at 43% and Free State at 13%. But Gauteng, Limpopo, and Western Cape experienced an increase of 3%, 2% respectively, compared with the 2009-2010 financial year. Thank you, Chairperson. That was the end of my presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just maybe on regarding to slide 46, just maybe a rectification. It is not percentages increases, it's the percentage of total cases received. Just to inform members. Yes, Chairperson, that is then the end of our formal presentation, and we will then await questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I can imagine members already have questions. I also do natural causes, deaths in police custody, natural causes. I think it will always be answered as a question. say, but really, how does it happen that an arrested person dies in custody and it is said the cause is natural causes? If I'm ill and I'm asthmatic, I am, and I'm arrested, why must I be allowed to die in custody? Why am I not taken to hospital so that I receive treatment and, of course, I die in the hospital if it is my day to die? This is a question we'll always ask, and I actually was checking here because your breakdown does not specify on what normally will be the cause of that natural, I mean, the natural causes, what will be the actual cause of that? Will it be chronic conditions or whatever? I can't understand. And maybe this question remains a question because we are receiving complaints. Sometimes people are phoning to say, my relative is admitted at Moy River Police Station, which is diabetic, or he's diabetic, and they're refusing him to get his treatment. Or somebody is admitted on antiretroviral treatment, and they're refusing to give this person antiretroviral treatment. And then we have these many natural causes. And probably one will be interested to know as to what are the conditions surrounding these natural causes in custody. Honorable Angie, Honorable Greg, Honorable Ms. Kolapanat, Honorable Swate, Honorable Lucheto, Honorable George, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. The fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 30,000 that was fully recovered, how was it recovered? The other question is on the 2% of disabled persons. What is the nature of their work? My other question is on the investigations that you do. After investigating and find out that a particular person is guilty, what happens? Why I'm asking this question is, we visited Verdebrug Police Station, where the ICD actually found somebody was guilty, and no action was taken. What happens after you find out that this person is guilty? And my other question is on, you mentioned that there are people who are injured before arrested. Now what I want to know is what caused the injuries before the arrest. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks to the ICD for the briefing. Just the first thing I wanted to, just a comment I'd like to make. If you look at the annual report, there's lots of tables just with figures about deaths and police custody, but there's not much background information to say, you know, because I would imagine by now the ICD should be able to give us some sort of analysis as to why some of these things are happening. And I think that whilst it's good that we get figures, I think it might be helpful going forward that we just get a little bit more information that will help us to understand why some of these things are happening. That's a comment that I wanted to make. Just on your new annual report, on page 50 of your annual report, it talks about employment changes. And whether it's a high number, I'm not sure, but you've had 37 people during the financial year in question that have terminated. They have left the organization. Perhaps you could explain to us why that is. Is that just normal, you know, resignations that take place, or are there specific reasons? And are there any steps that maybe the ICD needs to be taking to try and curb the number of people that are leaving? Also, on page 18 of your presentation, it does talk about, it tells us the number of posts filled. But you've got, at the end of the financial year, there were still 22 posts vacant. What's the reason for that? And has there been an impact on
the work of the ICD due to those posts not being filled. Then if I just move, some of the targets that you've got per province, some of them, you say your target, let's say on page 33, you've got a target of, for Mpumalanga, 57%, so you say the target has exceeded. A bit low. Why would you be happy with that and say it's exceeded? Maybe is your target too low? Should we not be setting it higher? The Western Cape as well is another one where, on a number of slides, whilst there maybe exceeded your target, but I still think it's a bit low. Can we get an explanation as to why would you be setting such low targets? Your cases that page 31 of your annual of your presentation here talks about completed cases. Now there's a number of cases that are carried over into the new financial year. How many of those are from 2009-2010 financial year? And what would prohibit you from being able to solve all cases and not have to carry over? There may be valid reasons, but perhaps you could share that with us. And then just, Chairperson, let me just ask this last one, the last two, if I may, Chair. The awareness programs, could we just get a little bit more information? What sort of areas did these take place? How many people did you reach in these awareness programs? And how successful have they been? And then just the last one is relating to your target on page 41. You tell us that you weren't able to meet your target of 100% registration within 48 hours. One of the reasons you give is that there was a server that was down. Was that server down the whole year in that province? How long was the server down, and has that been rectified? I'll stop there. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. There are references to numerous cases approved for completion by officials without the proper written delegation of authority. That's the word used. How many is numerous? And have you, number one, how did that come about, that cases are approved without the relevant authority? And what steps have you put in place to make sure this doesn't happen in the future? It's actually the first time, I think, in all the years of you coming here that I've seen such a thing, that people are simply signing off, approving cases for completion when, in fact, it's not gone through the proper channels. Very odd sentence. I see, again, still you're having trouble with staff retention. That has always been a problem. And it strikes me that there are two possibilities here. Number one, salaries. And I'd like to know that when this ICD morphs into the IFID, are you going to be in a position to offer salaries that are on the same levels as equivalent government departments, because your staff have been poached by other entities for all the years I've known you coming here? I mean, they're just whipped away. The minute you train them up, they're gone. So the reason they're going is for more money. Are you now going to be in a position with the new entity to pay sufficient to keep them and be able to career path people? There is another possibility. We're talking about 6,000 odd cases against the police, nearly 6,000, from murder to crime to who knows. And yet the SAF's response to your recommendations is at an all-time low. They take your recommendations and chuck them out the window. Not interested. So it strikes me that there's a possibility that to date, is destroying morale amongst your investigative staff. They do the investigation. They do the hard yards. They come up with, they say, yes, we are absolutely sure this person should face maximum suspension, even jail time, etc. And the SAT say, thanks for the advice, and they transfer the person. I mean, that happens on a daily basis. Is that not a possibility, why your investigative staff are leaving for greener pastures? I'd like to know, in light of the high staff turnover, do you have sufficient expertise to conduct the scientific work? I don't know how you describe it, the autopsies, the things that you have to do and you're mandated to do when you have a body found in a cell and you have to determine whether police have beaten that person to death or have, et cetera, somehow caused that death. You have to have staff who with the expertise to undertake these sorts of examinations. And with your high turnover, it strikes me, and also the salaries you're able to offer, it strikes me, you may have a huge problem with that, I'd like to know. And your objective was not to carry over more than 10% of cases to the following financial year and to increase crime scene attendance by 90%. I'd like to know the status of that. If I recall correctly, you've been pretty good at not carrying too many cases over. I have a feeling Honourable Greg just asked if some of those cases have been hanging around for years. Could you just bring us up to that? But your other one also, your crime scene attendance, the aim was to pull that up to 90%. I'd like to know the status of that. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Executive Director and the staff, and for your presentations. My other questions have been actually asked by my colleagues. I would ask the questions that I think they are not covered. My first question is on slide number 20 with regard to service delivery objectives and indicators. Here you also mentioned that you set a target of about 50% of women in senior management, and you actually managed to get the actual of 29% of women in senior management. And the reason that you are also giving is that there were no vacancies at this level. So I actually want a clarification with regard to that when you set a target, actually you didn't actually know as to whether how many people will you be employing if you are saying there were no vacancies to attain that target. So I just need clarification in that regard, because it seems I can't understand quite very well. Also, my second question is with regard to slide number 48 on the issue of statistics and the death as a result of police action circumstances. Yeah, it indicates that a suspect during the course of arrest, about 206 people died, about 38%. So I actually maybe need further information with regards to this death when those people were being arrested, because. Maybe if you can expand on that, we will actually understand why this number is so high. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also thank the presentation. Slide 6, you're talking to improving public access to ICG and raising awareness. It's very, very important for the communities. You reported now that you put satellite offices. But my question is, in the provinces, I believe, in all provinces, not today, maybe later, written, where are they situated in these provinces, these satellite offices? This service is meant for communities, and I need to, when I'm in my province or elsewhere, go there and check with them how they are communicating with their communities. The second question, Chair, is on the Auditor General issues raised. It talks to non-compliance of Treasury regulation for not settling your payments over 30 days. It's a great concern because communities around our area there, they come to us and complain that they are not paid up their monies. It takes time. They go into arrears in their business. The concern that the Auditor General can raise this, how do you improve that? Lastly, Chair, you see this document, almost everywhere you talk about death in police custody as a result of police action. It is all over the document, and it's a concern to me. And I think death is very unconstitutional. It might go a long way if you don't nip it on the butt. Because those families, we wonder why police are themselves being killed. It can be having an implication on that. It's an act against the Constitution. 700 cases of police death in police custody is too much. How do you improve on that? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Executive Director, and your committee. I think the point which I wanted to start with has already been covered by Greg and others. Your targets. I would be very interested to know why I say low. The reason why I'm asking, because you're not investigating criminals that are all over the show. You are dealing with people who are in the institutions of state. So if you investigate the police, you know this police from that police station. So, but your target is 55%. In fact, you should be targeting 100%. But probably I don't want to make a judgmental statement. I would like to hear from you. Why are your targets so low? Also, your targets worry me. You target 10% vacancies. I have never heard of such a thing, probably in the institutions where I worked before I came to Parliament, which were bigger than you, looking at your staff component. Why do you budget 10% if those vacancies are funded? Unless those vacancies, if the vacancies are funded, you're supposed to make sure that they are all filled. But you say you targeted 10%, you get 7.5, I would like to know what your targets. I don't want to get into, but your targets worry me. There's the 797 deaths. I probably would be very happy if it also links the criminal offences increased by 1%. You know, in the new act, in the new law which we made, we said if there is a certain trend, I can't remember how we put it, but we said once there's a certain trend, the ICD, the Secretariat must come together and say, this is a trend that must, some research must be made. You see, because, you know, when you say 8,424 criminal offenses, whether criminal investigation, and they say misconduct, more than 3,000. You must understand we're dealing with an institution which is supposed to make sure that the laws of this country are enforced, not themselves committing crime. We're also worried about the image of the police service. So I'm saying, have you not probably in discussion with the secretary to realize that something must be done with this increase in criminal offenses by the police? 70 deaths in the Eastern Cape. Probably you can help because you see, if it was Gauteng, I could understand. Because of Gauteng, there's been violent activities and everything. In the Eastern Cape, there's been quiet. There's been no protests and not much here, except this week where we had that last week at Wolfman. But there's been no violent there's been no demonstrations which could lead people shooting. But what makes the 70 deaths? Also, it linked to, you said, 25% sustained because of police action. What are they? Are they strangling them? What are they doing? 64 people killed. What are they doing? I'm not talking about those. So I agree with the Shakers. What makes? Why would police? Can't you discuss that thing? Why would police go and lock up somebody who can die anytime? I mean, they are avoiding. They are doing what even hospitals avoid. If you arrive at a hospital, you are very sick. The doctors will avoid admitting you because they don't want to the number of deaths in their hospitals increasing. They will tell these people that there's not much we can do. That this person will give this person to be cured. But police doing something different. Take somebody who's going to die, instead of taking to a place where normally people who are about to die go, that is hospitals, they take him to the police cell. You must understand the police cell, I've stayed there for many parts, better part of my life, I know. You can die even if you were healthy when you get into surgery. How much more somebody is ill, taken to a cell. So, but the last thing, you said your DVA auditing of police stations. Supposedly, even if it's not today, I would be interested to know what were their results, what were their findings. Because that is one of the major problems we have insofar as our police stations, including the other thing which you also said you investigated, domestic violence and all those. What did you find? Are the police, is there a problem in so far as this DVA is concerned? So I think some of these things to me are not questions, they're more information. Because this number, this increase in numbers of deaths in criminal activities, it's a matter of concern, especially by the police. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you also for the presentation. First question is just a general question in terms of comments made by the executive director when he started. I'm a bit worried about two provincial aides who are in acting positions in other positions. How long has this been going on, and how long do you foresee that will still continue, especially in terms of the one of Program 1? I mean, it in my mind, it takes the person out of the province as well. And then also a second general question, can you also give us an indication of the improvements or steps that you have taken as a result of our discussions previously on your monitoring of public protests and the police's handling thereof? I think it's a question I would presume Mr. Chabalala would answer for us. Then to a couple of financial questions. The 891,000 unauthorized expenditure, it said that you're awaiting Parliament's approval for this. What is this? What are we talking about? What is the role of Parliament? Who are we talking about? And then there is irregular expenditure of 184,000. That from previous years that are still awaiting condemnation. Now, why is it taking so long? Is it because this amount is being investigated? What is the situation around it? What are we talking about? What service are we talking about that was irregular that comes here under irregular expenditure? Then if we can look at your bonuses, performance rewards. You've given the performance rewards of 1.087 million. Can you give us a breakdown of how many beneficiaries they were, what percentage they got, and on what levels of the organization they were for that amount? There's a huge increase in the expenditure of computers and related services. Just give us a bit more detail on why. And I mean, we're talking 382% to CETA increase. What are we talking about? Are you developing something? Are you replacing? What is the story around that? Then, Chair, I'm also a bit worried about the issue of consultants. Expenditure on consultant contractors and agencies outsourced more than doubled to 2.076 million. And the highest thereof was for contractors of 648,000. Can we get an indication what was these contractors, the consultants, and the agency outsourced? What were these services? And what the breakdown of this 4.299 million that was spent on 2.076 million that was spent on contractors, on consultants, and on agencies. Then, the legal cost. What is this? Why suddenly do we have this increase in legal costs in the ICD? You overspent on the legal cost. Give us an indication what this is, please. See, the operating leases increased from 4.2 million to 15.568 million. Breakdown. Executive Director will remember that last time I had some serious questions about the contract in terms of the head office, national head office. Is this part of it? And at that stage, you were trying to tell us that you give your needs and Public Works determined. We all know now from painful experience, it's not that simple, that in the end, signing off on the lease comes back to the department. So can we get an indication why this huge, huge, huge increase in this regard? Why did you not receive any funds for the 482,000 worth of computer equipment that you disposed of? Contingent liabilities, what is this? What is this amount? I'm especially worried today because we see here court settlements of liabilities incurred during the year of 18,000. Possible claims incurred, total of 6.681 million. And then the possible claims for which the ICD may be liable of 9.142 million. And it was an opening balance of 2.64 million. What are we talking about here? I'm worried. I mean, we make a huge noise about this issue with SAPs, but it becomes worrisome when there's the contingency liabilities for the watchdog over the FAPS. What are these claims? For what and from whom? Why were they so? Why were the number of claims so high in 2010-11? And why were so few claims settled? It seems like the ICD is falling in the same trap as SAPS in terms of this thing. Are we fighting claims? What are these claims? What are we talking about? I also see your legal costs have increased as part of your consultancy fees. It's one of the reasons why your legal costs have increased, is consultants and legal consultants. Then it's also worrisome that in that perspective, that the Treasury then remarks that your liability was materially understated, but has since been rectified. Question on the investigation reports has been asked. And then last question, Chairperson, can we get an indication? I'm worried because I see here in the annual report that no job evaluations was done over the past year, financial year. Now, thinking about the implementation of the IFIT Act, one would have thought that job evaluations would have been part of the preparation for the implementation of the Act. Can we get an indication? When do you foresee fully implementing the Act, by what date, and how ready are you to do so? What has been done? What is the preparations? Where are we in terms of the implementation of the Act?
No, thank you very much. In your annual report,
on policy review, your target was 70% of all policies to be reviewed, and you updated or reviewed 38% of policies. And the reason for variance is staff shortage in the human resources management component. Can you really explain this and why? One other issue that I will want to ask is related to the very fact that during the 2009-10, the Auditor General said your reported information was not reliable. Again, 2010-2011, the Auditor General is still raising the same thing. Your reported information not reliable. Now, if you check on the performance of your internal auditors, says number of internal audit reviews conducted, you wanted to conduct 10, but you managed to, you wanted to conduct 10, but you managed 7. And you said audit unit had to conduct additional ad hoc committees. Also, on compliance with minimum information security standards, you wanted to audit 10, you conducted 6 audits. And I just want to know as to why are you not meeting these targets, so that probably you can address this, mate. Just coming to this rollover, which you asked for, which is amounting to something like 2.9 million. The Treasury or the Minister of Finance announced that he will be allowing 1.4 million of the 2.9 to be rolled off. What is the impact of this? Because it actually means that you are only granted half of that and not the full amount. Well, how is this going to impact you? I'm just checking on your performance up to the end of September this year. Mm-hmm. I know it's outside the annual the year that we're dealing with. However, one is a little bit worried. I'm not sure whether it is the figures that are not correct, but so far you're not meeting your targets up to so far. And I'm not sure as to what you're going to do, but when reading the report, you think the provinces that did not meet their targets are being monitored on a monthly basis by both program manager and by the monitoring and evaluation committee. And the question that comes into my mind is, when exactly do you monitor performance? Is it throughout the implementation so that it's part of the process of implementation? Or you wait for non-performance to occur, then you reactively put measures to deal with it? Are you reactive in your approach? Are you proactive in your approach in dealing with non-performance? And probably the reasons why you will end up with some rollovers and therefore asking for Treasury to roll over that money and you don't get 100% approval, and therefore, again, it's a problem. Some of the questions have been asked that I also wanted to raise with your good self. Program number 3, you understand quite a lot. I think it is you spent something like 81%, which was your highest understanding. And how has this impacted on your performance? We now know that Treasury agreed to roll over 50% of the money that you asked them to roll. However, we want to know as to what the impact will be on this one. I think the question on the committee, parliament committee, that yesterday has been asked, so I'm also interested to know as to which committee I'm referring to. some of the questions have been asked, and therefore we'll allow you to respond to questions. Honorable Poppy, do you want to ask a question? Okay, I'm sorry I did not see your hand if your hand was up.
Thanks, Jefferson. Although some of my questions have been asked, the only question that I have is on slide 5, bullet point number 5. Other cases are still pending finalization in the courts and disciplinary tribunals. I would like to know how many cases are pending in the courts and how many are at the disciplinary tribunal. The other concern of mine was on slide 20, which has already been covered, that vacancy rate. Why do you actually set a target to have a vacancy rate? That was my question. The other one was on slide 18. All your programs on that slide, program 1, 2, 3, have vacancy rates. Why is it the case? And when do you hope to have that a matter being addressed completely so that those programs do not have vacancy rates? Thanks, Jacob.
Maybe one other question. You've referred to employees with disabilities, and you said you have 1.5% of them, and one of the reasons is that they are not applying. Now, everyone is interested to know as to what positions do these employees occupy. And what factors do you take into consideration when evaluating their performance? I want to believe that they are also evaluated. We'll allow you to respond to questions.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you. Thank you very much, honorable members, for the questions. We will try and deal with them one by one and then also ask the colleagues to please come in. There's more detailed responses, and I will then ask the colleagues to come in. Ms. Molubatsi asked the question of the fruitless and wasteless. As far as I know, there were salary deductions from those members. Ms. Engelbrecht, am I correct? Yes. So that fruitless and wasteful expenditure, there were deductions made from the salaries of those staff members who was responsible for that. The comment by Mr. Schneeman regarding the question of more detailed information. We are in agreement with regard to that, and going forward as well with the two reports that we will have to table next year regarding IPET as well, reports on our cases, we will definitely ensure that that information is contained. We will take that definitely on board. In terms of the question of staff retention, and the Honourable Kola Barnard referred to that as well, I think historically the levels of staff, the ICD, was quite low. Now, most of the resignations, and I think Mr. Sorbo also referred to that, is merely at the lower levels. So people on level 4 or 5 will go for a 5 or a 6 in other department across the spectrum. So that is one issue that is currently the situation. One other issue that is also developing, and I think that's an issue we will have to take on board going forward, is that senior investigators or experienced people are poached by, for example, local government, new institutions that's also focusing on corruption. So our people are also invited for interviews, and people are getting appointed, because if you can go for on a person on a 200,000 salary level can go for a 500,000 rand post at the local government running an anti-corruption unit, they will go. So that's a big threat to us going forward in terms of IPAT. Now, how do we address it from a policy point of view? What we've did since last year in cooperation with DPSA is to do a proper program in terms of job evaluations. I think Honourable Van Wyk referred to that. We've in October finalised 36 job evaluations in terms of levels. And that is now with the executive authority for approval. There was also, DPSA did also, towards the beginning of the year, three job evaluations that was approved by the minister. So it's about 39 in total. So the aim is, going forward with the structure, also to ensure that those key positions there is upgrading. The other big issue, and I think that's been a issue that's been long on the table, is the issue of the case analyst and the monitors. There was a lot, I mean, I think for the last 5 years, the question of them upgrading and graduating to the levels of investigators. I mean, that is a priority in terms of the IPET implementation, and I mean, we're busy also with Treasury with regard to that. So that is a major issue we will still have to address. But then again, key people that may leave, again, there is a discretion also on the head of department. So, I mean, if there's key people leaving and we need the expertise, then we will have to come with counter offers. But those at the lower levels, the profile, again, is young people on level 5 or 6, and they go for greener pastures. And I think that will continue at that level. Because if you look at the retentions, let's say percentage at the higher levels, it's more stable in terms of that. Then in terms of recommendations from SAPS, we're quite confident with the measures that's included in the IPET Act, that the structure and also then the liaison forum with the Secretariat, we will be able to effectively monitor and track those recommendations and ensure that there is the necessary feedback. So we believe going forward that we will be able to deal with that. Then in terms of vacancies, senior management, and the question of gender as well, I think we must start at the top level. Now, what are we currently doing addressing that? Currently, or in the last financial year, the top management of the ICD consisted of 5 people. And what were we doing to address it? In terms of the appointment of the CFO, we addressed the question of gender there. Then the program one, where Mr. Sissoko is currently acting. Also, we have appointed, or the submission to the minister is also a recommendation for a lady to fill that post. The chief director of legal services, also a lady will fill that post. So we will move from a situation, what was 3 or 4 to 1, well, 4 to 2. It will change around. So the majority of people on the top management of ICD by the end of this year will be women. So I think that is a major move forward. In terms of the other senior management post, and I think that is where Mr. Smarty referred to the question of the target. Remember, we anticipated that the implementation of the IPET would have come earlier, but again, the 9 positions, the provincial heads, those positions must be advertised. So that is really where we want to ensure that gender is effectively taken forward. And we've shown also with our latest appointment in KZN as well that we take it seriously. We will ensure that that happens. So at least 50% of those provincial head posts must be those provinces must be headed by women. So that is our approach. And I think in terms of the top management, we've shown that we can do it in a quite short space of time, and we will continue with that as well. In terms of the question of public access, Mr. Legoto raised a very important point. I think there's an indication on page 65, 66 of the annual report where we indicate, where the specific access points are. Now, I think we will also provide a written detailed explanation of all the public events that took place in the various provinces to ensure that that information is forwarded to the office. Then a very important issue, the non-compliance of the 30 days. In terms of our action plan, and we've already made available our action plan to the AG for this year's audit that's currently underway, and we've indicated that if payments are not made within 30 days, the following will come into play. In the absence of valid reasons, responsibility managers will be held personally accountable for payments of claims in the case of late submissions of invoices, so disciplinary steps will follow, and that is just how it's going to be. Then there was a fine and circular 1 of 2011 distributed to all ICD staff on 5 July 2011 that required proof of receipt date and assistance with a 30 days payment turnaround time. And then every component to submit the monthly compliance certificate by the 7th of each month is again also re-implemented. So we're trying from our side to ensure that it happens. And this compliance as well by the provincial offices with regard to that. Then in terms of Mr. George also raised the question of the Eastern Cape. Yeah, I think that is one of the provinces, Mr. Chabalala will give us the detailed information, that is one of the provinces with the most cases in court currently of all the provinces in South Africa. So in terms of ICD cases, the Eastern Cape is the most. So in terms of the number as well of deaths in custody, it's a huge case of concern for us. Remember we had that case some time ago where, that was very... a very high-profile case where, you know, we had to, again, get the body and so on, and we eventually proved that there was foul play by the police. So the Eastern Cape, it's a cause of concern, but Mr. Chabalala will indicate the details with regard to that. Then in terms of the DVA audit, Mr. George also again raises various important points. We have tabled the DVA reports recently in Parliament, and we made a presentation to the Portfolio Committee. Maybe Mr. George was not there, but we'll make sure that he gets a copy of that presentation that we can also inform him with regard to that. Ms. van Wyk, I agree with you. It is not healthy to have people in acting positions for very long because it creates problems. In terms of Program 1, Mr. Sorg, who is currently acting there, he's... the submission is with the ministers. So hopefully it will be signed off quite soon. Then in terms of the Eastern Cape, the current provincial head is on suspension with regard to a matter that's currently in court, and we've got the deputy head of Gauteng acting there, and I think he's doing quite well. And then with regard to Mpumalanga, the Honourable Chairperson asked about non-performance of consequences. I was not happy about our performance in Mpumalanga. In terms of various cases and our own analysis. And I was there recently for a week just to see what is going on. And I've subsequently appointed Mr. Hamanyane, who's doing very well, and the current provincial head is still there, but we've also brought in a task team to assist in terms of more investigators to ensure that we reach our strategic objectives and especially those difficult cases. So those provinces where there are problems, we intervene, we assist, and ensure that there is movement. And it's an ongoing process. On a monthly basis, we will see what is the actual performance, and if there's not indications of proactive steps by the provincial head, of course, we from head office will intervene. So that process will continue. In terms of the performance indicated in the adjusted estimates, of course, Chairperson, we must ensure that we reach the targets, and we will make sure that it happens. Going forward.
I mean, they, surely you'd expect that such a person at that position will have key performance indicators and a performance contract. What is your assessment and evaluation in terms of his contract? Because this has been going on, this non-performance or poor performance has been going on for quite some time. Why are you keeping somebody who's not performing? Why must you appoint a person in a position and then send other people to go and do the work when the person is there? Why keep people to end for not performing?
My question was related to the impact that it's got on the two gentlemen's provinces as well, where they are primarily responsible. You don't want to create, and we don't have an indication how long the situation in Mpumalanga is going to remain that way, and we don't know how long the acting in Program 1 has been. So we need to get clarity on those issues as well. But I'm a bit confused about the answer around job evaluation. Because on page 50 of your annual report, it states clearly that there were no job evaluations done. But yet you talk about 39 jobs in your answer. It said on 1st of April 2010 to 31st of March 2011, no job evaluations were done. Can we just get clarity? Because I'm confused around the answer.
Thank you, Chief. Maybe the first question of the Honourable Van Wyk. Remember, this, the job evaluation process is a long process. And we
they took a deliberate decision, maybe a slower process, but to ensure that we involve DPH from the DPSA from the word go. So it wasn't the ICD process on its own. DPSA was part of that process, and the finalization of those job, or the finalization of those job evaluations, was only done in October of this year. So we have now submitted to the executive authority.
This is not correct, because then it means there was a process.
There was a process, but
it wasn't finalized. But there was a process, because if we look at this report historically, it's saying to us that no job evaluation was done. And therefore my concern also about what is happening in terms of the implementation of the new Act. So I think you're not doing yourself a favor by reporting that no job evaluation was done. And the way busy with whatever the case may be, that's the reason for the concern.
Now, Chairperson, maybe just to indicate, in terms of completed job evaluations, I mean, in terms of that year under review, there was no finalized job evaluation that we could report on because, of course, it must be signed off and finalized, and that was only done in October of this year. So that is the situation. With regard to the underperformance, there is certain rules applicable in the public service with relation to non-performance, and, of course, we follow that process. So I just want to indicate that.
I know them, Executive Director. And we're not talking about a one-month-old underperformance here. We've raised this matter over some time to such an extent that even those processes, rules that should be applied, surely must have been applied to the fullest. And I'm saying that understanding exactly that there are processes that must be followed. But we've been talking about underperformance. And now you've taken somebody from another province to go and work in another province, and you're sending teams there. This person is there, not performing. And surely you must have followed these steps. I'm a member of parliament, and I'm expected to perform as a member of parliament. If I'm not doing that in the public service, surely some processes must be followed. And if I'm not coming to the party, then I must be made either demoted or made to go and sit at home. I don't know. I'm not talking about something that has happened over 3 months. I'm not talking about something that we've been raising over a year. I mean, it's more than a year that we've been raising, and we've been talking about the underperformance in Mpumalanga province. I'm saying that it's been quite some time. And whatever processes that may have been followed, put in place, as per the regulations, as per the legislations, surely must have been. That's my question.
Yes, Honourable Chairperson, I hear what you're saying, and I want to give the assurance from our side, we will ensure that in terms of the Public Service Act, we follow the respective rules. Then, Honourable Chairperson, yeah, maybe just to come back to Ms. Van Wyk as well, she asked specifically, will the appointment of those two acting provincialists affect service delivery in the Free State as well as in Northwest? Just to indicate, those provinces are well run, they've got very good deputies, I'm confident they're performing very well. In terms of Program 1, Mr. Sissoko, as soon as the Minister signs off that position, Mr. Sissoko has been there for about 2 months. Mpumalanga, we're talking about 3 to 4 months, yeah. 4 months.
And Kate Pamoda from Gauteng is acting?
That's correct. Was there no deputy there?
Of course, there is a deputy, Mr. George, Honourable Chairperson, but of course we look at the needs of the office, the experience and so on, so we must have the confidence that the active person in that province will be able to run the office effectively. Honourable Chairperson, the Honourable Van Wyk referred to from a previous year, I think it was the amount of 981. Ms. Engelbrecht, can you just maybe indicate that?
Just interrupt there because I think we'll have to take a short trip break and then come back. I was just waiting for the executive director to finish with his responses, and then we're going to take a short break. But I just want to read this before we break. The Auditor General says the ICD received an unqualified report with no emphasis of matters. The Auditor General, however, made comments relating to the validity of program performance information, leadership, and financial regulatory framework. These include the reported performance for Program 2 in respect of Class 1 and Class 3 cases was not valid when compared to the investigation cases, case files. Cases were signed off as complete without the case investigation report. 2. Numerous cases were approved for completion by officials without proper written delegation of authority. 3. The accounting officer did not establish a comprehensive system for reporting performance information. 4. There was non-compliance with Treasury and Public Service Regulations because payments were not settled within 30 days. 5. Qualifications and other claims relevant to the employment position of newly appointed employees were not verified or records kept. And 6. There had been material misstatement regarding the contingent liability disclosure in the financial statement submitted for auditing, which was later rectified by the management. For me, these issues are serious, and I want to believe that you're going to comment on them. We're going to break for tea, and we will come back at 11:30. Whether we are here or not, those who must talk will start talking. You will not wait for us. Thank you. Thank you.